Vaishnavas and the disappearance of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So first I'm going to read about the appearance and disappearance of this Vaishnavas, and then we can get into the Chaitanya Charitamrita class. Today is also Vasanta Panchami. Vasanta Panchami is spring festival celebrated on the fifth day of the light fourth night of the moon during the month of Magha, January, February. Krishna is worshipped on this day with the newly blossomed spring flowers. This is from Krishna Sangati by Shivaram Swami. And now about the Vaishnavas. All this information was not taken from Wikipedia. Just want to emphasize that. This was taken from Srinandananda Prabhu's website. Srinandananda, Prabhupada disciple. Do you know him? He's in Detroit, Michigan. Maybe that's a consideration. Or is it a positive thing? So Srimati Vishnu Priya Devi appearance. Srimati Vishnu Priya is the internal potency known as Bhu Shakti. She appeared in Gora Lila to assist Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his mission of spreading the holy name of Krishna. In Navadvipa Dhamma, there lived a Brahmana named Sanatana Mishra, who was an extremely exalted Vishnu Bhakta. He was a pious and generous Brahmana as well, and used to feed, clothe, and shelter many people. He was famous as the king of Panditas. In fact, in Dwapara Yuga, he had been a king named Satrajit. As a result of his pure devotion to Vishnu, he was blessed with a beautiful daughter who was rich in all good qualities. From her early childhood, Vishnupriya Devi used to bathe in the Ganges three times daily. She was devoted to her parents and carefully followed the scriptural principles and performed puja, archana, and served the tulasi tree while observing many different vows of austerity and piety. Every day when Vishnupriya went to visit the Ganges, she would bow at the feet of Mother Sachi Devi with great humility. When Sachi Devi noticed the modest and beautiful Vishnupriya, she gave Vishnupriya Devi her blessing that she might find a good husband by saying, open quotes, "May Krishna bestow upon you a good husband," close quotes. Now you know how to bless a beautiful girl. That Krishna bestow you a good husband. From that moment, she began thinking of how Vishnupriya would make a good bride for her son Nimai. Upon further inquiry, she found that the girl's name was Vishnupriya and that she was the daughter of Sanatana Mishra, a wealthy and respected pandita of Navadvip. And Srila Prabhupada comments on the introduction of Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya's second wife was Srimati Vishnupriya Devi, who bore the separation of the Lord throughout her life because the Lord took the order of sannyas at the age of 24 when Srimati Vishnupriya was barely 16 years old. Then today is also the disappearance of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, and that's why we sang the Jayanilo Primadana. Great Vaishnava. Now, there's so much to say about each one of these personalities that we could just take hours talking about this. So what I'm providing you is a very, very summarized version of the biography. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur took birth in the year of 1654. According to others, is a different date. There's always more than one version on this. According to the Gaudiya Vaishnava Abhidhana, part 3, page 1370. And he took birth within the Nadia district of West Bengal in a place called Parishadha Devagram. He appeared in Radhiya line of Brahmanas. He had two brothers, Sri Ramabhadra Chakravarti and Sri Raghunatha Chakravarti. Srila Chakravarti Thakur went on to live in the Murshidabad district of West Bengal in Shayadabad, where he received mantra initiation from Sri Krishna Charana Chakravarti. He lived for a long time in the house of his Gurudeva, where he wrote many books. Because Chakravarti Thakur lived for so long in Sayadabad, he became known as a resident of Sayadabad. In one of the final verses of his commentary on the Alankara Kaustubha, he himself has written, Shayadabad da Nivashi Sri Vishwanatha Sharmana Chakravartiti Namneyam Krita Tika Subodhini. Sri Vishwanatha Chakravarti, a Brahmana residing in Shayadabad, has composed this commentary on the Alankara Kaustubha. When Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur lived in Nadia, he closely studied these scriptures, beginning with a study of Sanskrit grammar, poetry, and rhetoric. It is said that even as a boy in school, he was undefeatable as a scholar and could overcome anyone in argument and debate. From an early age, he was indifferent towards family life. For the purpose of binding his son in the contract of family life, Vishwanatha's father arranged for his marriage when he was very young. He remained a married man for only a short time. Soon he renounced his wife and home and went to live in Vrindavan. After having come to Vrindavan Dham, Srila Vishwanatha took up his residence in the Bhajan Kutir of Sri Krishna Das Kaviraja Goswami on the banks of the Radha Kunda, where there lived the disciple of Krishna Das Kaviraj, whose name was Mukunda Das. There, Sri Vishwanatha Chakravarti made a careful study. Study of what? Who knows? While living at Sri Krishna Das Kaviraj. Okay, one more try. Careful study of the Goswami's literatures. In that holy place, he later wrote many commentaries on the books of the Goswamis. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur established the worship of the deity of Sri. Gokulananda. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur was also sometimes known as Hari Vallabha Das. Vishwanatha's title, Chakravarti, was awarded to him by the devotees. Generally, this title designates one who maintains Varti, a circle, chakra of influence. Hence, Chakravarti usually means emperor, for the emperor maintains his power over a vast circle. A more devotional explanation of this title is found in the introduction of Vishwanatha's Swapna Vilasimrita. There it has been written, Vishwasya Natharu Pausu Bhatiratna Pradarshanat Bhakta Chakri Vartitatva Chakravartamaya Bhavat. He who reveals the jewel of devotion to Vishwanatha, the Lord of the universe, and thus expands the circle of bhakti, is called Chakravarti. He wrote 18 books and 14 commentaries, including a commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. This was from the Gaudiya from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, volume 18, number 18, dated 8, Pausha, Bengali year 1329, that he wrote these 18 books and 14 commentaries. Gives a list of the books and the commentaries. I just counted them. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has written many books, among which are the following. Commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam, which is called Sarar Tha Darshini Tika. Bhagavad Gita Sarar Tha Varshini Tika. Alankara Kaustubha Subodhini Tika. Ujjwalani Lamani Ananda Vrindavana Champu, which is called Sukhavartini Tika. Rupa Goswami's Vidagda Madhava Natakam, Gopal Tapani Upanishad, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and original works such as Sri Krishna Bhavanamrita Mahavakya, Mahakavya, Sapna Vilasamrita, Madhurya Kandamini, Stavala Lahari, Ashwarya Kadambini. Note, this is not the same Ashwarya Kadambini as that of Baladeva Vidyabhushana. Baladeva Vidyabhushana's book describes the opulence of Sri Krishna, whereas Vishwanatha's book, by the same name, deals with the philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. 2 days ago, somebody was discussing the Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva in class. So this is the book to read. And now, his samadhi can be found just next to the temple of Sri Gokulananda in Sri Vrindavanam. Now, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, another great Vaishnava, a disciple of Sri Madhavendra Puri. Pundarik Vidyanidhi was Sri Gadadhar Pandit's guru and an intimate friend of Swarupa Damodar. Once in Jagannath Puri, Pundarik Vidyanidhi met Swarup Damodar after a long separation. In a joyful mood of friendship, Pundarik and Swarup wanted to take the dust from each other's feet. A scuffle began as they tried to simultaneously catch the feet of one another, but at the same time avoid having their own feet caught. Both being quite strong, neither won. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enjoyed their sporting play and everyone laughed. Pundarik Vidyanidhi has other names: Sri Vidyanidhi, Acharyanidhi, Bhaktyanidhi, and Premanidhi, given by Lord Chaitanya. Simply by hearing his name, said Lord Chaitanya, the whole world becomes purified. Premanidhi's pure devotion caused Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to sometimes cry profusely and call out loudly, Bop, which means father. He would say, Bop Pundarika. Pundarika is my father, my dearest friend. When will I see him again? Pundarik Vidyanidhi is King Vrishabhanu, Sri Radha's father in Vrindavan Leela. Continually floating in the sea of Krishna Prema, Pundarik often showed ecstatic bodily symptoms of tears, horripilation, falling unconscious, and more. Whoever recites or hears the following narration of the meeting of Pundarik Vidyanidhi and Sri Gadadhar Pandit will receive the treasure of love of God. This is from Sri Chaitanya Bhagavata. When he first arrived in Avadvipa, when Pundarik Vidyanidhi first arrived in Avadvipa, he didn't want to be known by anybody. He wanted to be incognito. No? So he disguised himself as a worldly sense enjoyer. Besides Mukunda, nobody knew that Pundarik Vidyanidhi was a pure Vaishnava. And then he told Gadadhar Pandit, Mukunda told Gadadhar Pandit, today, I'm going to introduce you to a most exceptional Vaishnava, as he took Gadadhar Pandit to meet Pundarik Vidyanidhi. This is really nice. They found Pundarik Vidyanidhi reclining on an opulent brass bed covered with red satin sheets, silk pillows, and topped with a three-tiered canopy. A gem-studded pen box stuffed with fragrant spices and betel nuts waited within arm's reach. Two shiny brass spittoons stood as silent sentries beside the bed. Seeing the mirror stained red from his chewing pen, Pundarik laughed heartily. Two servants cooled him with peacock fans. Very opulent. God at that point, upon seeing him, said, "What kind of Vaishnav is this? Is this a Vaishnav or a prince?" Doubts arose in Gadadhar's mind about Pundarika's spiritual status. Reading his mind, Mukunda decided to reveal the highly exalted transcendental identity of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Mukunda recited Srimad Bhagavatam 10.6.35, which reads, "Putana was always hankering for the blood of human children. And with that desire, she came to kill Krishna. But because she offered her breast to the Lord, she attained the greatest achievement." Hearing this verse totally transformed Pundarik Vidyanidhi. A Ganges river of tears flooded his eyes. Perspiration rained from his body. His hairs stood erect. He ripped off his embroidered silk shirt and wildly thrashed his legs, not thrashed, just threshed his legs about. Yeah. Rolling on the ground, he wailed, "The Lord is infinitely merciful, yet he deprives me of his mercy. His clothes, brass bed, fine bed sheets, mirror, spittoons, and his opulent trappings were ripped to shreds and smashed to bits. 10 men tried but could not restrain the force of Pundarik's ecstasy. The manifestations of Pundarik Vidyanidhi's pure love for Krishna competed with one another for some time. Finally, his spiritual emotions reached their peak and he lost external consciousness." After witnessing this spectacular display of transcendental feelings, Gadadhar Pandit realized his offense in misjudging Pundarik Vidyanidhi to be a materialistic devotee. To rectify his mistake, he wanted to take initiation from Pundarik Vidyanidhi. 6 hours later, Sri Pundarik Vidyanidhi returned to external consciousness. Wow, 6 hours. Now he seemed calm and composed. Happily, he initiated Gadadhar Pandit. Pundarik Vidyanidhi is Srimati Radharani's father in Braja pastimes. Wow. Now, Sri Raghunandan Thakur's appearance. Sri Raghunandana Thakur made his appearance within this world in Sri Kanda. In his home, he became acquainted with the worship of Sri Gopinatha from an early age. One day, his father, Mukunda Das, who was a doctor, had to go away. There's a nice story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about Mukunda Das. He was the doctor of a Muslim king. And one day he was sitting next to the king. And then a servant of the king came with a peacock fan. And when Mukunda Das saw the peacock feathers, he fell from the chair unconscious on the floor. And the king went to help him. He said, "What happened? What happened?" He said, "That's nothing. I suffer from epilepsy, and sometimes I have attacks like this." But it was actually his transcendental emotions. So this is the same Mukunda Das. So Mukunda Das, who was a doctor, had to go away on medical business. He called Raghunandana to his side. He told Raghunandana to see to it that their deity was served with great care and attention. He told him to be sure and feed the deity. At the appointed hour, taking the order of his father on his head, Raghunandan went to perform the service. He took the offering of food into the deity. Raghunandan was just a little boy. He told the deity, "Eat, eat." When he saw that the offering appeared untouched, he began to cry. Not being able to resist the child's intense devotion, Krishna ate everything on the plate, leaving no remnants. When Mukunda Das returned, he asked the boy, "Please bring me my prasadam." The boy said, "Father, listen, I made the deity eat as you told me. He left no remnants. He ate everything on the plate." Mukunda was amazed at what the child was saying. Ordering the boy to offer food as before, Mukunda hid himself outside the house and watched through the window. Raghunandana then, with great delight, offered Gopinath a ladu. "Eat, eat," he said. The Lord ate half the ladu. Meanwhile, Mukunda, who was watching from outside, beheld all this in great amazement. He could understand that since the deity had already eaten once and had not left any remnants, his hunger was satisfied. As a result, he could only finish half the ladu. Now, Sri Raghunatha Das Goswami, one of the six Goswamis, Raghunath Das did Radha Krishna Bhajan at Radha Kunda for 40 years. He lived an austere life of pure devotion. Srila Gorakishore Das Babaji, he said that my disciple, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, is the personification of Rupa Raghunath's renunciation. Because he was very renounced, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And here says that Raghunatha Das Goswami showed the standard of renunciation required to attain eternal loving service of Radha Giridhari in the Nitya Kunja at Radha Kunda. His perfect example enthuses all Gaudiya Vaishnavas to develop unalloyed pure love for Radha Krishna. Sri Raghunatha Das Goswami's daily bhajana included chanting 64 rounds of japa, 100,000 holy names, doing manashi seva in his spiritual body, doing seva with his mind in the mind, worshipping Govardhan Shila, bathing 3 times a day in the Radha Kunda, offering 1,000 obeisances to Krishna, offering 2,000 obeisances to Vaishnavas and embracing them, resting 90 minutes and sometimes not at all, keeping mind, however, when one, an eternal associate of the Lord externally rests, internally he continues serving. He ate only 1 leaf cup, 100 grams of buttermilk daily. And sometimes he didn't eat. And now we can start the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita class. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So now it's chapter 9 of the Madhya Lila. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu travels to the holy places. So I'm going to first read the summary of the chapter. A summary of the 9th chapter is given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. After leaving Vidyanagara, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited such places of pilgrimage as Gautami Ganga, Mallikarjuna, Ahola Nrisingha, Siddhavata, Skanda Kshetra, Trimata, Vridhakashi, Bodha Stana, Tirupati, Tirumala, Pana Nrisingha, Shiva Kanchi, Vishnu Kanchi, Trikalahasti, Vridakola, Shiali Bhairavi, the Kaveri River, and Kumbha Karna Kapala. Finally, the Lord went to Sri Ranga Kshetra, where he converted the Brahmana named, which Brahmana? Oh, you're looking at it. Venkata Bhata, who along with, why don't you take that from the screen? Along with his family, took up devotional service to Krishna. After leaving Sri Ranga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reached Rishabha Parvata, where he met Paramananda Puri, who later arrived at Jagannath Puri. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then proceeded further, arriving at Setubandha Rameshwar. At Sri Shaila Parvata, the Lord met Lord Shiva and his wife Durga in the dress of a Brahmana and Brahmini. From there, he went to Kamakoshti Puri, and later arrived at Southern Mathura. I don't know if it's the same in Mathura, but there's a Mathura in South India where 15,000 people still speak Sanskrit today on a daily basis. A Brahmana devotee of Lord Ramachandra talked with him. Then the Lord took his bath in the river Kritamala. On the hill known as Mahendra Shaila, the Lord saw Parashurama. Then the Lord went to Setubandha and took his bath at Dhanus Tirtha. He also visited Rameshwara, where he collected some papers connected with Sita Devi, whose illusory form had been kidnapped by Ravana. The Lord next visited the places known as Pandya Desha, the Tamraparni River, Nayatripati, Chadatala, Tilakanchi, Gajendra Mokshana, Panagadi, Chamtapura, Sri Vaikunta, Malaya Parvata, and Kanyakumari. The Lord then confronted the Bataharis. Oh, but it's T-H-A. Bataharis. The Lord confronted the Bataharis at Malaradesha and saved Kala Krishna Das from the clutches. No, they tried to kill the Lord, actually. They came with weapons to kill the Lord. But then all the weapons fell on the ground. The Lord also collected the Brahma Samhita, 5th chapter, on the banks of the Payaswini River. He then visited Payaswini, Sringavira Puri Mata, and Matsya Tirtha. At the village of Udupi, he saw the Gopala deity installed by Sri Madhvacharya. He then defeated the Tattvavadis in Shastric conversation. The Lord next visited Palgu Tirtha, Tritakupa, Panchapsara, Surparaka, and Kolapura. At Pandarapura, the Lord received news from Sri Rangapuri that Shankararanya Visharupa had disappeared there. That was his brother. He then went to the banks of the Krishna Venva River, where he collected from among the Vaishnava Brahmanas a book written by Bilva Mangala Thakur, Sri Krishna Karnamrita. The Lord then visited the Tapi River, Mahishmatipura, the Narmada River, and Rishamukha Parvata. He entered Dandakaranya and liberated 7 palm trees. From there, he visited a place known as Pampa Sarovara and visited Panchavati, Nashika, Brahmagiri, and also the source of the Godavari River, Kushavarta. Thus the Lord visited almost all the holy places in South India. He finally returned to Jagannath Puri by taking the same route after visiting Vidyanagara again. So it's a very amazing chapter with so much traveling and preaching of Lord Chaitanya. Now, verse number 1. Please repeat. Nama Mata. Nama Mata Grahastam. Dakshinacha Janadvipam. Kriparina vimuchatam Gaurash Chakri Savaishnavam. I'm going to keep it simple because it's already 9:40 or 8:40, I mean. And I'm going to read everything by myself. Namamata, by various philosophies. Graha, like crocodiles. Grastam, captured. Dakshinatya, Jana, the inhabitants of South India. Dvipam, like elephants. Kriparina, by his disc of mercy. Vimucha, liberating. Etan, all this. Gaura, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chakri, converted. Saha, he. Vaishnavam, to the Vaishnava cult. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu converted the inhabitants of South India. These people were as strong as elephants, but they were in the clutches of the crocodiles of various philosophies, such as Buddhist, Jain, and Mayavada philosophies. With his disc of mercy, the Lord delivered them all by converting them into Vaishnavas, devotees of the Lord. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's converting the people of South India into Vaishnavas is compared herein to Lord Vishnu's delivering Gajendra, the elephant, from the attack of a crocodile. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited southern India, almost all the residents were within the jaws of the crocodiles of Buddhist, Jain, and Mayavada philosophy. Here, Krishnadas Goswami states that although these people were as strong as elephants, they were almost in the clutches of death because they were being attacked by the crocodiles of various philosophies. However, just as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the form of Vishnu saved the elephant Gajendra from the clutches of a crocodile, so he saved all the people of South India from the clutches of various philosophies by converting them into Vaishnavas. Okay. Om Agyana Timinanda Syagyana Njanam Shalakaya Chakshiramilicham Tanjanatasma Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pistaya Bhutali Shri Mati Bhakti Vajanta Swamini Chinamini Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Kacharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Kashyacha Vishitakne Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama. So the Lord saves a lot of people on this traveling that he did. On chapter 9 of the Madhyalila, text 10, it says that in South India, on the same chapter, there were many types of people. Some were philosophical speculators, and some were fruitive workers. But in any case, there were innumerable non-devotees. So there are many, many non-devotees, even on those days, even in South India, which is considered to be a very religious place. This is very interesting because the chapter is that Lord Chaitanya traveled to the holy places. No. And Prabhupada also traveled, but Prabhupada traveled to the most unholy place. And that's New York City. And in New York City, he established himself in the most unholy area, which was the Bowery and the Lower East Side. Mukunda, who was Michael Grant, he explains that when Prabhupada, when he went to visit Prabhupada one time and he opened the door, because Prabhupada was staying at 94 Bowery Place on the loft. So he opened the door. So he got inside, he felt that the smell of urine and vomit. Very bad smell. You know? I have felt this smell in New York in some place, so I know exactly what he's talking about. You know? Especially in the subway during summertime, you go to New York subway, you feel that smell. It's a heavy smell. You know. So Prabhupada, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling to the holy place. Prabhupada came to the most unholy place. And basically, the situation was the same. The Chaitanya Charitamrita says that Lord Chaitanya was always inducing people to chant the holy names of Krishna. And Prabhupada was always inducing people to chant the holy names as well. So I'm just going to relate a little bit of Prabhupada's preaching in the early days, because it has a lot to do with Lord Chaitanya's preaching as well. Lord Chaitanya was meeting people that were against the Vaishnava philosophy. Like he met some Buddhists and he defeated the nine aspects of their philosophy. It's going to be described in this chapter. And defeated their leader. And they were not too happy. The next day they came to him with a plate saying that it was Mahaprasadam, but was actually untouchable food. And before Lord Chaitanya took the plate, a big bird came and got the plate, lifted up high, and then dropped and fell on the head of the leader. And the leader fell unconscious. Yeah. And you are going to see in Prabhupada's past times that many times, when it looks like everything is lost, Maya falls unconscious. And Prabhupada comes out victorious. Yeah. In another occasion, the Bhattataris, they took Krishna Das, who was the servant of Lord Chaitanya, and the women, Bhattataris, they seduced him and took him to their camp. But Lord Chaitanya went there to save him. And when Lord Chaitanya was taking him away, they came with all their weapons to attack him. They were ready to kill him. But when they came close, all the weapons fell on the floor. They could not do anything. Huh? Hit them. So, when Prabhupada was in the Bowery, Michael Grant had a friend called Carl Jurgens. And Carl told him, there's this Swami in town. I said, where is he? Well, 94 Bowery Street. I said, wow, I am on 110 Bowery Street. That's amazing, isn't it? I calculated it's 177 feet from 94 to 110 on the same side of the road. It's a 1 minute walk. How could that be possible? There's like millions of people and buildings in New York, and Prabhupada comes to live next door to him. It's like, no, like magic, you know? It's like Krishna planted him in that place just waiting for Prabhupada. So he went to the evening program that Prabhupada was giving Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays lectures. So he went to one, but prior to that, Michael Grant had seen a Buddhist monk uptown. So the Buddhist monk came, sat down, and said some mantras, and told everybody to repeat, and after he finished, he turned his back and left. And Michael said, wow, what was that? So when he saw the Swami was saying some mantras also, and he said, I know exactly what's going to happen. When he finished the mantras, he's going to turn his back and he's going to leave. But no, Prabhupada didn't leave. He says, oh, that's better. And after the class, he had a chance to go and talk to the Swami. First, he talked to Paul, which in the Miracle on Second Avenue is called Paul. In the Lilamrita, it's called David Allen, who was sharing the loft with the Swami, and who also was bringing water for the Swami during the class. So he told him, can I talk to the Swami? He said, you can go there and just talk to him. So he had a short conversation with Prabhupada. Then during the week, he thought, I want to see the Swami, but I want to see the Swami during the day when nobody's there. I want to have like a one-on-one, a face-to-face conversation. So he went there during the day at about 1 p.m., but the door was locked. So he could not get in. But as a good New Yorker, he thought, well, let me throw some pennies on the window upstairs. And then Paul will come to the window and open the door. So he started throwing pennies. And nobody was coming. He picked up the pennies and kept throwing the pennies. And then finally, the Swami came. You see his, Swami's head. And the Swami made a gesture. I'll be there in a minute. So he came down and opened the door. And he said, come on, let's go up. And he said that the Swami was stepping two steps at a time. Now, I like to go like this also. I don't like to go like one, I like those two steps. It was very dynamic, like a young man. Took him upstairs and set him down, and they were talking. And he said, no, I came here because, no, I want to understand more. Who are you? What do you do? And the Swami started talking about his master. No, my master, he told me to do certain service in the West. I said, oh, but I thought like you are the master. But so you have a master? Yes. What's the name of your master? Oh, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. But I thought you are the master. I said, no, I'm not the master. I'm a servant, Prabhupada said. I'm a servant. And I come here to just accomplish the mission that he gave to me. So I explained to him everything. So they became friends. And then, again, Michael met with Carl, and Carl told him, so how do you like it? Yeah, I liked it, and I would like to learn more. And Michael said, well, the Swami has some books. Now, I bought the books from him. He has three books. Now, it costs $20. Oh, I want to get the books. So Michael went back there and told the Swami, you know, I want to get your books. And the Swami said, okay, your books are $20. Well, I have only $5. I said, okay, no problem. But the Swami didn't leave him off the hook. Said, later you bring the $15. You know, you pay $5 now, but later you bring it. So then he was carrying volume 1 everywhere, reading the book everywhere. And he was really fascinated by the book. And he finished volume 1 and he was going to volume 2. And then one day, Paul, who was sharing the loft with the Swami, got a little crazy. Because the Swami told him, Paul, don't leave the soap on the bathroom floor because it's a little dangerous. You know, we can step on the soap and fall and get hurt. You know? Paul started cursing the Swami, got very angry. The Swami had to leave the apartment running. He just got his briefcase and left running. And from downstairs, he called Carl Wiggins and said, "Carl, this is what happened. You know, Paul came after me. I thought he was going to kill me." And Carl said, "Just a moment, Swami. Where are you?" "I'm downstairs by the payphone. I'm coming right now." So Carl came. And the Swami explained. He said, "I want to see Michael." So they called Michael from the payphone. And this was 7 o'clock in the morning. Michael answered the phone. "Michael, this is Carl. The Swami is here with me. And he wants to see you." "Carl, do you know what time is it? It's 7 o'clock in the morning. I am sleeping." "Michael, the Swami wants to see you." "Okay, give me 5 minutes. So he's dressing up. And he's thinking, "I came back home 2 hours ago because I was playing piano at a nightclub in New Jersey. Yeah. And all the Swami wants to see me." So while he's dressing, the bell is ringing at the door. And the Swami is there with Carl, because the door downstairs, the apartment door, the building door, was open. So they come in, and the Swami sits down on the sofa, and Michael sits on one side, and Carl sits on the other side. And then, do you know who his cousin Brunzer is? Does anybody know who his cousin Brunzer is? We could be talking about 1 hour about his cousin Brunzer. Yeah. You don't know? Okay. His cousin Brunzer is the black cat that Michael had in his house. Okay. And it was the most fortunate cat in the whole New York City, because the cat jumped on the Swami's lap. Yeah. And the Swami pushed the cat away. So had the mercy. The cat had the mercy of Prabhupada's touch. He pushed him away. And on the bed, within Prabhupada's vision, was Jan, Michael's girlfriend. And she said from the bed, she was in her nightdress, said, "Hey, Swami, how are you?" "I was at the love feast." Prabhupada gave his first love feast in the Bowery. "I don't know if you remember me." And Prabhupada looked at Michael and said, "Michael, is that your wife?" And then both Michael and Jan, they laughed. "Wife? No, Prabhupada, we're not married." And then he told, the Swami told them what happened, the soap and but they thought, well, but this just happens. No? But the Swami said, excuse me? Jamuna sister, that's correct. So the Swami said, well, in India there's a saying that the student learned from the guru, and then when he thinks he knows well, he kills the guru and he takes the guru's seat. And they thought, yeah, Paul is really sometimes, you know, he takes LSD and can really get off hand. And he's a big guy and the Swami is a small guy. And he can really hurt the Swami badly if he wants. We need to do something. And Michael was saying, well, maybe the Swami wants to move here to my apartment. And he said, well, here in my apartment is not possible. You know, we do a lot of gigs here and rehearsal and music. It's a lot of noise going on all the time. You know? But I'm going to do something. I'm going to find a place for you. And the Swami said, well, in the meantime, I can stay with my friend Dr. Mishra until we find a place. I can stay with him uptown. On the Lilamrita, there's a different version. It says that he stayed with Carl Wiggins, and Carl had dogs. That means more than one. Had cats, more than one. His girlfriend, who was Eva, was a chain smoker. They took drugs, and they gave a corner in the living room for the Swami. And the Swami was influencing her. And I want to speed up. There's much more about this. But then they get the 26th Second Avenue, and they go walking to, you know, on the moving day, they walk from 84 Bowery to 26 Second Avenue, which is about a half an hour walk, and the Swami is carrying 2 suitcases. And then they have Jamastami, then they have the first initiation. 10 men were initiated, 1 woman, which was Jan. And then they have Jen and Michael, who now became Janaki and Mukunda. They go to Prabhupada and say that, Swami, we are leaving. So, where are you going? We're going to India. No, we want to look now for something spiritual. So we're going to India, you know. So when are you leaving? You're leaving now? No, we're leaving 2 months, but first we're going to Oregon and other places, and then, no, we're leaving to India. No, we have the tickets and everything. Huh. Okay. Do you know anybody in India that could help us? So Prabhupada reached out to his notebook. He said, yes, there's this man, and here's his phone number. He's in New Delhi. Okay. Thank you, Swami, for everything. Yeah. So he bows down because he said, no, he was not leaving in the temple. Others were leaving in the temple. He was not. But he bowed down, and then he's leaving. When he's by the door, the Swami says, Mukunda, just a moment. If we could open a temple on the west coast, would be a really great service for Krishna. Be a really great service. But have a safe trip. So he leaves. And they travel to Oregon. And on the way, they stop at this place that they have their friends, Dusting and Melody. They meet with Dusting and Melody. They're talking about the Swami. And Dusting and Melody is really, they're both in with Swami. Wow, tell me more. Oh, the Swami, is, you know, he has these books from India, you know. He knows Sanskrit. And he sings mantras. And, you know, he initiated us. And, you know, we even got married. He even made our marriage ceremony. And they're really interested. But now from here, now we're going to San Francisco. And then we're going to India. And we want to get really spiritual now. And there was a lake nearby, and Mukunda one day decided to go to the lake and get into a boat, a small boat, just a single person. And before that, Dustin said, no, but why are you going to India? No, the Swami told you that it would be nice to have a temple on the west coast. No, why don't you help the Swami, and we help you? So he went to the lake, and he was sleeping on the boat, just looking at the sky. And he had some dreams. And he was very thoughtful about those dreams. And then he woke up. And then he fell asleep again. He had more dreams. And 6 hours passed. And after that he thought, maybe I should not go to India. Maybe I should help the Swami. So he told Dustin and Melody, well, I'm still thinking. So he arrived in San Francisco with Melody, and they were looking for a place. And then he thought, maybe really this place now could be a really good temple. So he called Dustin, said, Dustin, we changed our mind. We are going to try to open a temple for this Swami, but we have no money. We have nothing here. No problem. I'm coming with Melody. We're coming down. We're going to help you. So they come down, and they start meeting people, they start chanting, they make some friends. And then they thought that if we do a rock and roll festival, maybe the Swami will come to San Francisco. So, and they are looking for a place to make a temple. And he's looking one place, another place, and finally he came at one place that was a good location near Haight-Ashbury. But was too small. And while he's there, one man says, hey, are you with Bhaktivedanta Swami? Out of the blue like this. Because he had his japa mala around his neck, and Prabhupada had an article in the New York Times and Village Voice. Said, yes. Oh, I heard about the Swami. I want to help you. Here's my number. So he went to visit the guy. The guy was kind of living an opulent life and a lot of smoke in the house. You know that kind of smoke, you know? And anyway, they were chanting Hare Krishna, and Dustin was chanting Melody, and Janaki and Mukunda. And they said, no, we want to do a rock and roll show, And we actually spoke to the grateful dad, and they said that they could help, and they can play, for free. And they said, ah. And also, we want to get in contact with Allen Ginsberg. And the guy said, well, I know Allen. I can talk to him. I will call him. So he called Allen, and Allen said, okay, I can come for the show. And then Melody was looking for other bands, and she found this big brother, James Joplin. And Mukunda said, but nobody knows these guys. And she said, I tell you, I was listening to them. They play and they are good. How long did you listen to them? 15 minutes. Come on, Melody. Melody, this is not going to work. We need some famous people to attract a lot of people. She said, these guys are good. Yeah. Anyway, they played. I'm making everything very short because time is short. Then they had this big event. And then Prabhupada travels for the first time. Now he's traveling from New York to California. But you need to understand that Lord Chaitanya met his challenges. Prabhupada was meeting some crazy fellows. You know, look at this. A young man in the audience seems unable to contain himself and begins making his own incoherent speech. And Prabhupada is giving class. You know, this is a 26 Second Avenue. Prabhupada, no, you cannot disturb just now. Man is standing up. No, wait a minute, man. A quarrel begins as others try to quiet him. And Prabhupada, no, not just now. No, you cannot ask just now. Man, well, I'm trying to talk, man. Prabhupada, no, just now you cannot ask. Man, wait a minute, man. Prabhupada, why do you interfere just now? We have a regular question time. Others in the audience, let the man finish. Yeah, let him talk. The man supporters, no, talk like this. Defend him, his right to speech. The second man, I have just one question, please. How long is an individual allowed to or expected to go on without any type of thought? How long? Prabhupada, I'm not finished. We'll give question time after finishing, after 5 minutes. Prabhupada, all right. Just gentleman is impatient. Then after 5 minutes, Prabhupada gives the opportunity. We shall stop here. Now, what's your question? Man, practically, we tend to place emphasis on those we identify with the fact itself. Many people are meant to explain the why force and wherefores of the metaphysical truth that I think, therefore I am. Prabhupada, what's your particular question? I have no answer to that question, the man said. The Prabhupada says, what's your particular question? Amen. I have no answer to that question. Rather, that I attempt, I live, I breathe. Prabhupada, yes. Man, so ability, tell me why I have nothing to do with it. May I understand the why, fors, and wheres? Prabhupada, that's all right. Man, I have difficulty in you. I have difficulty in saying, Prabhupada, so long as we are in this material world, there are so many problems. Man, not many problems. It is not many problems. This is the greatest fact I have, I know. Prabhupada, yes. Man, I learn. I will find it innumerable times by the same token. Maybe we are able to reconcile the fact of individual being for as long time to find out why. Prabhupada, turning to one of the boys, Roy, can you answer his question? It's a general question. Prabhupada just turns to Roy, you handle this. But there were so many cases like this. Now, Prabhupada had to deal with so many crazy people all the time. Yes, from the beginning to end. Then Prabhupada goes to the event. So Prabhupada arrives. It was an amazing thing because they had a sign. Swami Bhaktivedanta is coming to San Francisco, arriving at the airport on United Airlines Flight 21 on the 17th of January at 2:30 p.m. And we are having a caravan leaving Panhandle, and you can come with us. So 50 people came up to join. Mukunda, Janaki, Dustin, and Melody. And they had a caravan of cars going to the airport. You know? And when they got to the airport, 50 people jammed in the small area at the gate, gate 22, where the flight would arrive. And then suddenly, Allen Ginsberg. Now, Allen Ginsberg was very influential. But, you know, but Allen Ginsberg was also, he said one time that, I hope that every man, woman, and child over the age of 14 take advantage of taking LSD as many times as possible, as long as their health permits. And I hope that everyone that listens to me speaking like this, try this. You know? He was completely out there, you know. But at the same time, he liked Prabhupada. And on 26th Second Avenue, he donated a harmonium. Then he gave $300 to help to renew Prabhupada's visa. And then Prabhupada arrives at the airport, and Allen Ginsberg comes with a bouquet of yellow roses wrapped on a green paper. And everybody is waiting for Prabhupada. And they are chanting Hare Krishna. And then the Swami arrives, and they make two rows for the Swami to walk in between. And Mukunda had told each one of them that you bring a flower, each one of you bring a flower to give to the Swami. So all of them are giving, the 50 people, now they're giving flowers to the Swami, and the Swami would then give back to somebody else. And then Alan comes and gives a bouquet of flowers. You see, there's a picture of Prabhupada carrying that bouquet. And Prabhupada says, Alan, you're here, because he flew from New York. Yes, I came. So then there's the event. No, and they get, finally they get the storefront, and they get apartment for Prabhupada. Everything is happening in a question of days. Everything is happening. Then the day of the event. This is an event with thousands of people. And all these bands are playing. And then Prabhupada comes in with Kirtanananda. And on those days, women wearing miniskirt was very popular. You almost don't even see that anymore. No, those are like mini skirts. No, not just mini skirts. Super mini skirts. And then he comes with Kirtanananda. And they're walking. And he turns to Kirtanananda and says, this is not a place for brahmachari. You know, obviously not. And Rancho had flied with Prabhupada. Remember that Krishna Das, he was taken by the Bhattataris. And Lord Chaitanya had to go and rescue him. Anyway, Prabhupada, before Prabhupada, let's see if I find it here. Prabhupada was introduced by Allen Ginsberg, the same Allen Ginsberg that said about the LSD, but I think he became purified with Prabhupada's association. Look what a beautiful introduction. I can't find it now. Yes. And then I'm going to finish because I know it's getting late. Now, Ginsberg continued because Ginsberg was first talking about how this, the festival and everything, which was organized by the Hare Krishnas. Ginsberg said, I want to introduce you to Swami Bhaktivedanta. This, I thought it was really beautiful the way he introduced, who brought this mantra to the place where it was probably most needed, to New York's Lower East Side, to the dispossessed, to the homeless, the lost, the anarchists, the seekers, the drug addicts. The crowd applauded and cheered. He left India, where life is peaceful, where he could have remained happily chanting in a holy village where people never heard about war and violence, where life is slow and meaningful. But instead, he is here with us tonight. His first time in this city, his first time in America, and he has come to share with us something precious, something to treasure, something serene. And then Prabhupada chants. Yeah. Prabhupada chants and everybody joins. And then Suddenly, Prabhupada stands and he raises his arms and he starts dancing. And everybody go wild. An amazing scene. And then, after Prabhupada chants, then he leaves and the show continues. And Rancher that comes with Prabhupada, Mukunda says that suddenly he sees Rancher dancing with a blonde with miniskirt. And the next day, Rancher goes to Prabhupada. No, he flew with Prabhupada from New York. He goes to Prabhupada and says, Swamiji, I'm leaving. I'm going back to New York. Oh, yeah, this San Francisco thing, you know, it's okay. I like, but it's not for me. And I got a blonde girlfriend, so I know I'm working out things now. So I'm going back. So things were like this, you know. So Prabhupada, in his travels, he had to face all these challenges and so many more that we don't have time to discuss. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.